Jim, a pleasure to have you with us as always. And wait, now that Kevin Love is back in the fray, certainly a lot more for us to talk about. He's played a couple games, not playing tonight, though. Coming off of that foot injury, I know he hasn't played a ton in the two games that he's participated in. Certainly got some solid numbers. Have you noticed any apprehension? Because, you know, just looking at the numbers, they certainly seem to be pretty darn good, given the fact that he's hardly played a half of a game in the two games in which he's played. Have you noticed any apprehension at all coming off that injury?
None whatsoever. What he's done is he's gone out there. He's been the most aggressive guy on the floor on both ends, and he's doing well. I mean, you have to account for him. He's glad to be back. He's been cheerful. He's been traveling with us for almost 3 months. He's been with the team, and the guys love him around, so he hasn't lost contact with the players. But he came out last game making threes, post-ups, getting to the free throw line, finding people. He just looked like the old Kevin to me.
And I think the lack of apprehension certainly goes a long ways. I know, you know, Larry Nance had mentioned this a couple days ago, the fact that, you know, this guy's kind of our rock, even though he hasn't been there throughout the course of the season. The fact that he's had a presence on this team throughout the course of the season certainly goes a long, long ways. And I think that's something that certainly resonates with some of the new guys that they have acquired via trades over the last few weeks. And the first one I want to bring up is Brandon Knight. Boy, Jim, I don't know if you noticed the same thing, but he really seems to be a lot more energized since coming over to the Cavaliers, and he's just been on fire from three-point land.
Yeah, well, he's got something to prove. Every time he started to have a good season, injuries, his knees and whatever, you know, it was always something. This kid has a tremendous amount of talent, and if you look at his bio, all the way back to high school, this kid has been a winner. And so he has a passion for the game. He competes. He competes on both ends of the floor. And the other night was just exemplary of what kind of player he really is. I think, first of all, let me say something about Kobe Altman. I really think Kobe Altman, under an unbelievable amount of pressure to get this thing right. I mean, I give him all A's. I mean, when he brings in a guy, Brandon Knight, who still has something left, And the way he had Love travel with us, you know, that's upper management saying, hey, if he can be with the guys, he needs to be with them. And he's been a rock for us because that strategy, you know, to rebuild this franchise is one of the most difficult things in any sport. And I give him an A, man.
Yeah, it's hard not to at this point because you're right. He's certainly pressed a lot of the right buttons. He's made a lot of the right moves. And I think it's fascinating, too, and I know we've talked about this before. You know, this team has certainly fought through a lot of adversity throughout the course of the season. And part of the adversity is that they've had so many guys hurt. They've had to turn the roster over so many times. And I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they've had 25 or 26 guys suit up at some point this season.
You're right. You're exactly right, and it's hard to build a rhythm. It's hard to build continuity and familiarity. All of those things have been rare for us this season, but we have had a couple of bright spots, and I know you're going to get around to those guys later because you always do your homework, but it just shows you the kind of character players we have that are willing to go out there and compete no matter what the circumstances.
Jim, I want to get into the other player acquired in the deal that sent Alec Burks over to Sacramento. Of course, the Cavaliers got a first-round pick back. We talked about Brandon Knight. Marquese Chriss came over, and I think that was a name that a lot of Cavalier fans didn't know a whole lot about. And he's played pretty well in the games in which he's participated with the Cavs. Of course, the other night, he was terrific off the bench in the victory over the Knicks. What kind of player is he, and what can he add coming off the bench for the Cavaliers?
Well, he's super athletic. I was told that when he was a rookie, he jumped so high that he could almost touch the top of the backboard. Yes, that's how athletic this guy is. Sometimes when you're drafted, it's just not the right fit or it's the wrong time, you know. And I think that's where we found this kid. He comes to Phoenix and he was trying to get his act together, but so was the whole organization. And it just wasn't the right time for him. Sometimes a trade can be the best thing for a player, and I think this is going to suit him fine. He can play center, power forward. He's been making three-point shots, and all he has to do now is just learn our system, which will take time. but he's been a total team player, and that's one of the things I look at. You know, how does he want to play with the other guys? And he really does. He talks a lot. He asks questions. I just think he's a perfect fit, and that's all part of that A that I'm grading Kobe with.
It's interesting because you're right. I think at the very beginning of this, you look at that deal, and everybody's fixated on that first-round pick that comes back in return, but there are a couple of pretty good players that came back in this as well. And it's all about the environment, though, isn't it? Because you mentioned both of those guys, they were looking for more playing time, and they're going to get it here.
Yes, you know, and that's what makes them hungry. They want to produce. They want to impress. And every player in our league, on some level, that's what they want to do. They want to play. They want to impress, you know, and they want to do well. And that's the fundamental of where we're going. You got to remember one thing, that there are no bad teams. There are bad teams in our league based on the definition of a bad team versus a good team. But even the bad teams have talent off the bench. And you got to remember that we're not only trying to build a starting five, but we're also trying to build 3 to 4 guys that can come off the bench who can play against starters and compete. So all of this works with us.
Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I want to bring up Larry Nance Jr. I know we talk about him because he does a lot of great things on the floor and off the floor. Jim, can you make the argument that to this point, Larry Nance Jr. has really kind of been the glue guy or the one guy on this roster the Cavaliers can't really do without simply because he's had such an incredible year and he's really done a little bit of everything?
Yes, he has. And getting back to what I was talking about, he was in Los Angeles with a lot of other young, talented players, and it wasn't a good fit for him. There was a lot of pressure on management and the coaching staff to win games, and they weren't there yet. And there was a whole bunch of kids. Now he comes home. There's familiarity. You know, he's trying to impress people. Every time he steps on the floor, he's trying to show people that I deserve to be here. And that's the thing that we love about him, is that he comes to compete every night. But the thing that he's gotten recently since he's been back is two things. He's become more physical on defense and offense. He's throwing his body around, and it's been reflective in his rebounding and his leadership.
No question about that. Another guy I know we discuss quite frequently is Colin Sexton. But, Jim, he's played really well over his last few games. And
yes, he has.
I know unfairly he gets criticized because I think people had these lofty expectations, and I know we kind of go back and forth on him. He's 19 years old. I mean, he just turned 20 years old. He's so young, and there's so much room for growth here. But, you know, the Cavaliers released their game notes a little while ago talking about what he's done in his last four games, averaging 22.5 points per game. He's shooting 44% from three-point land. He's nailing his free throws at a 91% clip. And I think more importantly than anything else, sir, I think a lot of folks were critical on his ability to distribute, but he's averaging 3.5 assists over his last four games as well. You get the impression that that aspect of his game is really beginning to blossom?
Yeah, I think he's turning the corner. You know, I really think he's turning the corner. You know, he's one of those players that has to learn how to be a point guard. And that is the most valuable position in our league because our point guards have to be able to score, but they also have to be able at the same time facilitate. And if they're not doing either one of those, they better be defending at the point of attack. So there's a lot of stuff he had to learn. Now, in between all of this, you know, we've had inconsistency. You know, we've had inconsistencies. You know, we've had a change of lineups. You know, we've had guys who are forwards playing the two guard, playing with him. And that's the way it's been. One time for a stretch there, we only had 9 players. And he stayed competitive. And to his credit, he's learning. And, you know, no one can say when a young player is going to turn the corner, but I think he has.
Yeah, and it's very unpredictable, but you'd like to think that the room he's in right now and the guys he's playing with, there's a lot of familiarity. You know, guys like Jordan Clarkson, Matthew Dellavedova, you know, Brandon Knight as well. That seems to be an interesting group and a group that can really help him blossom as well. And I think these next 6 or 7 days here, especially over the All-Star break, I know guys do different things, but you know, how do you think he can maximize this next week off during the All-Star break?
Well, I just think he has to be reflective. I think he has to go in his notebook and look at all the things that he's been asked to do. I think he's got to look at the things that he wants to do versus what they expect him to do. and he's got to start putting a check next to some things and erasing some other things. This is the time for his personal evaluation. And when once he sees the All-Star games and all the games that are happening around him, all of those are motivating factors. And this kid, you know, he's a motivated kid. In spite of all this, you know, upheaval and everything that's happening to the team, you know, he has played hard every night. I got to give him credit. He's not getting a call, but he's still attacking. He's still trying to do those things. It's just taking a while to get rid of some bad habits.
And from a team perspective as well, you know, maximizing your time during the All-Star break. I know it's one of those things we look at from the outside and say, well, do these guys take some rest? Do they practice? What exactly is it that they do? But from a team perspective, and I know that kind of breaks down differently for every individual, how do you maximize your time off during the All-Star break? Is it more important to, you know, get some rest? Is it more important to shoot around and stay sharp? How's the best way of approaching that?
Well, when you're a losing team and you're losing, and you're going out there and you're playing as hard as you can and you're still not winning, sometimes just a mental break. Take a couple of days and don't do anything but just eat and sleep and lay around the house, go see a movie, and then get back into the grind slowly by working out. Not intensely, but just keeping your muscles loose. And that's where we are right now. We've got a lot of young players, and to their credit and Larry Drew's credit, they've accepted the challenge that they have to play hard every night and they have to try to play together, all of those fundamental things that are going to help them in the future once they become more talented. And we have a core here. You know, Kevin Love is one of our cores. Tristan Thompson is a part of that core. Osmond is a part of that core. Nance is a part of that core. And so is Sexton. With all the upheaval around those guys, they're still here. That is the foundation of where we're going. And as long as those guys can go out there and compete every night, you know, we're going to be fine. And I don't think it's going to be that long.
Cavaliers coming off a 107-104 victory on Monday over the New York Knicks. They have a chance to make it two in a row tonight, taking on the Brooklyn Nets. Jim, this should be an interesting matchup tonight. The Nets, a 500 team, but boy, they've kind of been Jekyll and Hyde throughout the course of the season. They were 10 games below 500 at one point. Then they played extraordinarily well, but they've been hobbling of late, losing four out of their last five games. What kinds of matchups and things should we be looking for in tonight's contest?
Well, I think they lost their most valuable player. I think by losing Dinwiddie, a guy who could start, a guy who could also come off the bench, a veteran guy who could be that third guard when they go small ball, was causing teams all kinds of problems. And now, and he's been injured. And so they don't have that extra guy coming off the bench. They've asked other people to come in. But if you know anything about Dinwiddie, he was the leader of that team. You know, the players looked up to him, and that's a huge loss for them, a huge loss. And so they're trying to overcome it. The thing that's helped them is LeVert is coming back. He will be back. Some people said he might even play a little tonight, I think he's going to play. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that yet. But if he plays, you know, they were winning when LeVert was playing. Then he broke his ankle or hurt his ankle, dislocated his ankle.
Well, Cavaliers taking on the Brooklyn Nets a little bit later on tonight, 7 o'clock tip time, 6:30 pregame. Our coverage begins at 5 o'clock with the Cobos Insurance Center countdown at the Q, presented by Regetta Heating and Air Conditioning with Tim Alcorn and Scott Cirilla. Jim, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. After tonight's game, hopefully you'll get a chance to enjoy the All-Star break, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, guys. Talk to you later. Great stuff.
Thank you very much, Jim. Again, Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Always a lot of fun catching up with Jim Jones. We love the conversation, and